This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
How would you like a 15% discount to my daily email, the stack of stuff, the show notes, discounts to the conference, all of that? All you need to do is text the word show to 33777. You'll get the annual subscription with a 15% discount to my daily email. You'll get the stack of stuff, the links to the show notes, discounts to the conference, and so much more. All you have to do is text the word show, S-H-O-W, to 33777. Text show to 33777.
Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show podcast, hour one.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across America. The phone number is 877-973-7425. You can text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777 and get in touch with me. Follow along on social media, get the podcast live stream, all that good stuff. It's telling where we are as a nation. There is a really big story out today. It dropped last night, and no one is paying attention to it. That kind of tells me where we are as a nation. However, I need to bring you up to speed on something before I get to that. The president has already signed the law to forced divestiture of TikTok, fund Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. He says aid will be moving to Ukraine within the next couple of hours. He signed the Senate passed it last night. The president has signed it into law already today. He says he's not giving up his TikTok account, though. TikTok is complaining. But that's not the big story of the day. At least in my mind, it's not the big story of the day. It is as well, I think, not the big story of the day of the Trump trial. In fact, let me turn my TV set on here in studio. I keep it on in the background sometimes. But what's notable to me is it's not the big lead story on CNN right now. I'm watching all these TV networks. I've got them on, and I don't see it. On Outnumbered, it's not the big one. The Supreme Court, CNN, they're talking about the Supreme Court. They're taking a pause from covering the Trump trial. Oh, look, this should be the biggest story. Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, says that the threat of terrorism in the United States is the highest it has been in some time. According to NBC News, in his interview with NBC News, he says that this terror threat is especially from lone actors or small groups radicalized at home by the war. He said there's also elevated fears about a coordinated terror attack in a public place, a prospect that for the last decade has been seen by intelligence officials as extremely remote. Here's his quote. We are increasingly concerned about the potential for some kind of coordinated attack here in the homeland, which may be not that different from what you saw against the concert hall in Russia a few weeks ago from ISIS-K. We are a people who want to be entertained. So it is very entertaining to focus on the raw politics of the day. It is very entertaining for many to focus on the Trump trial or the travails of TikTok, you name it. Focus on sports, to focus on the trades, to focus on what's happening in the baseball game, to focus on the NHL playoff season. The director of the FBI is warning us that there is an elevated terror threat and the first time it's been elevated in quite some time, and the first time in years, the FBI has been concerned about the potential for a coordinated terrorist attack inside the United States. And you know what the response from a lot of people to write is? Oh, they're just trying to get us scared. They're trying to control us through fear. I'm not here to try to defend the FBI to you. Can't really defend them. But when the director of the FBI comes out and says, we haven't been worried about this in quite a while, but actually we're really worried about the increased risk of radicalized groups here at home taking matters into their own hands and a coordinated ISIS-K style attack in this country, like what happened in Russia, and your first reaction is, oh, he's lying. He's just trying to scare us. Maybe the FBI isn't the problem. Maybe you're the problem. Maybe your thinking is the problem. This should be a big deal. And what I find even more remarkable is that the major news publications in America, the major news outlets in America, they're not even running with this. You look at the big news websites? Nope. Let's see, a memorandum which chronicles the big news. Well, nope, there's a dig at Donald Trump. There's a dig at Marjorie Taylor Greene. There's a dig at the jurors, and maybe MAGA jurors are getting on Trump's trial. There's the non-compete issue. There's an abortion issue. There's cash refund issue. There's the TikTok issue, Supreme Court issue. On and on it goes. An attack on George W. Bush. There's nothing there. What about Drudge? What about the Drudge Report? Drudge Report. Hamas releases video showing U.S. Israeli hostage with hand missing. That's actually big news. You remember the lady whose son was taken hostage? What's her name? Rachel is her name. Her son. She's a very articulate defender of getting the hostages back. And a defender of Israel, her son is still alive. Hamas has released a video. That's a big story. Trump gagging on gag headline. Let's see. Not a big headline at the Drudge Report. What about Google News? Surely aggregators of news would elevate this news. Nope. There's the TikTok ban. There's the Biden mocked for admitting we can't be trusted. Yes. Joe Biden said Donald Trump has shown that the Democrats can't be trusted. That's his quote. The king's horses have run amok in Great Britain. King Charles's horses ran off. Nope. Y'all, this is where we are. It should be a big deal. I don't set what the news stories of the day are. I try to cover the big news stories of the day, and I'm telling you, it is the biggest news story of the day. The director of the FBI has gone public. He told members of Congress this and it leaked out. About a month ago, he told members of Congress. Marco Rubio came out and said this is what he said. He then had public testimony where he reiterated it about a month ago. It wasn't big news at the time either. That's what's so notable. If it was big news at the time, you could say, well, he's just reiterating it. But he said it a month ago and it wasn't big news. And now a month later, he's taking his concerns to the nation through an interview with NBC News. And yet again, it's not the big news, and it should be. You know why it's not big news? One of the reasons, not the only reason, but there's a reason why it's not big news. Because a lot of Christopher Wray's concerns come from the gotaways at the southern border. So if it were big news, there would have to be blame pointed at the Biden administration for the open border. Because one of Christopher Wray's concerns is the gotaways who've come into the country. We have stopped Hezbollah agents at the border. They've been stopped. We've stopped the Chinese. We've stopped Islamic terrorists. We've stopped people on the terror watch list. We've stopped people coming in from Iran. And those are the ones we stopped. But we know there are people who get away. We know there are people who got away. In fact, they call it the gotaway list. And the gotaway list is a pretty large list of people who got away from the Border Patrol and have made it into this country, and we don't know where they are. We know we've stopped a lot of military-aged Chinese men. We know some of them got away. We know we've stopped some Iranians. We know some of them got away. We know we've stopped agents of Hezbollah. We assume some of them got away. So if there is a terror attack, let's say before the election there's a terror attack, you know, the Democrats will spin it fast and furious. They will find a fall game. But the fact of the matter is the open border will have probably played a role in it. It is obvious to everyone who pays attention to the situation. And that's why the media is not making a big deal out of this, because it's a damning indictment on Joe Biden at a time the media thinks Donald Trump is the biggest threat to the country. And you've got Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, saying the biggest threat to the country right now is small bands of terror. Terrorists in this country plotting an attack like we saw in Russia, where they stormed into a concert venue hall and killed over 100 people. God forbid we close the border to stop terrorists from coming across easily. I keep bringing up this point, and I bring it up on Ukraine, and I bring it up on the economy, and I bring it up on national security, and it needs to be brought up on this. A lot of people who oppose, like, funding Ukraine, a lot of people who oppose a robust national security and foreign policy presence, that they have the luxury of not having to deal with the unseen things. They can see the money we flow to Ukraine and say, this is too much money. We shouldn't be sending this money. What they don't see is the benefit we get. Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri, I like Josh, but I think he's wrong on this issue. A lot of a significant portion of the money that we've given to Ukraine is actually going to go to Boeing workers in Missouri who build weapon systems under Boeing's plants in Missouri. So the Boeing plants in Missouri and the workers there are going to benefit from the Ukraine funding. And Josh is attacking Boeing. Why are we giving money to a company whose planes fall from the sky? Well, we're giving money to a company that the United States military has given contracts to build weapon systems that you love. They are produced in Missouri by Missourians, and you don't want them to get the money to produce. You know, one of the things about the funding to Ukraine that everybody has missed is that the Democrats don't like to build weapon systems, and the Democrats don't like us building advanced weapon systems. The Democrats really want us to fall behind China. And what this funding to Ukraine has done is it's actually been a backdoor way to build the advanced weapon systems that the Democrats hate. So this hasn't come up. It hasn't come up by design, I think. The White House didn't want to point it out and say, hey, you realize if you pass the Ukraine funding, we're going to be building the new weapon systems with the money that you don't actually want. We're going to give the old stuff to Ukraine. We're going to build the new stuff that Ukraine's not going to get. And the Democrats have just enabled us to build fifth and sixth generation weapon systems, and they don't even realize it. They're so busy wanting to help Ukraine fight Russia, they don't realize that actually what's happening is we're going to send our surplus to Ukraine and build new stuff Ukraine's not going to get, the very new things the Democrats have been trying to block in Congress. But all of these things are a bit of a distraction. We have an insecure border. We have people in this country who are radicalizing. Look on these Ivy League college campuses. These Ivy League college campuses, we got a whole lot of people who clearly hate America who are radicalizing. And in that radicalization could come violence. We've got a bunch of environmentalists in this country who are encouraging people to start blowing up pipelines and derailing trains to save the climate. Do you know there have actually been a series of train derailments in this country over the last 3 years, and environmentalists are suspected because the trains were hauling oil and fossil fuel-related chemicals and coal? That's right. You don't hear a lot about it in the media. They're so focused on right-wing terror, they haven't paid attention to the environmental zealots who are derailing trains in the West to stop the flow of oil and coal and other materials through these trains. And now the FBI director is telling us we got a problem on our hands. The threat to a terror attack in the United States is the highest it's been in a decade. And the FBI is deeply worried about an ISIS-K-style attack at a concert venue or something like that in this country. And the media instead wants to talk about Donald Trump's trial. The media wants to talk about anything other than this because they are afraid that if they focus on this, it could drive Joe Biden's polling down, even though it's Joe Biden's policies and his open border that have made us more vulnerable. If an attack comes before November, God forbid an attack come before November, and it comes from terrorists who cross the border illegally, there should be political ramifications. I don't want it to happen. I am not cheering for it. But if it does, there should be political ramifications related to an open border. Voters should remember that. It's been obvious the entire time something like this could happen. The FBI director is warning about it, and you got the Democrats and the media refusing to talk about it because they're so scared to death it could hurt Joe Biden. I want you to know this is the big story today. Even if it's not the lead story in the newspaper or on TV, the FBI director, we should take his warning seriously. It's notable that very few are. And that's all because of politics.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
877-973-7425 if you want to be on the program. You know, if there is a terror attack in this country, God forbid it happens, but if there is, Donald Trump's been reelected, the Democrats will immediately blame Donald Trump. If it happens on, so the president gets sworn in on January 20th. If it happens on January 21st, 2025, and Trump is president, the Democrats will immediately blame Donald Trump, and the media will too. We know how this works. Also in this interview with Christopher Wray at NBC, what's so interesting to me is he really, really was forceful on TikTok. Let me read you some of this. He said national security officials are concerned that TikTok provides Chinese intelligence services the ability to collect data, the ability to control the algorithm, which means the ability to push Chinese Communist Party narratives, pro-Chinese Communist Party narratives, downplay criticisms of the Chinese government, in effect enlist millions of users as unwitting advocates of Chinese Communist Party propaganda. He added, now pay attention to this one, he added that the Chinese government has the ability to control the software, which gives the opportunity to technically compromise the devices, the phones, millions and millions of phones. Asked what he would say to the millions of people in the United States who regularly use TikTok for business or pleasure and simply don't care about the perceived risks, Ray said, quote, "My message is you need to take into account who the Chinese government is, who the Chinese Communist Party is." He's not wrong. But, you know, that goes for Joe Biden, who has this morning very rapidly signed into law the legislation forcing the sale of TikTok out of Chinese Communist Party hands, and the Biden administration says the Biden campaign is not going to give up using it. Mr. President, you want to set an example for people, set an example. You won't set an example on forcefully denouncing anti-Semitism, and you won't set an example on getting rid of TikTok. That's just crazy. Bad leadership on your part. It took Fox News yelling a question for you to even condemn anti-Semitism. You wouldn't do it on your own. Unbelievably bad leadership on your part, Mr. President. Now, you as a business leader should exercise good judgment and go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, and put in my name, Eric, E-R-I-C-K. You'll get some free postage. You'll get a free digital scale. You have no contract to sign. You don't bind yourself or your company with a long-term commitment. You just start saving on your shipping. You go to stamps.com, use their interface on a mobile device, on a computer. You can find the cheapest options and the fastest options to ship packages. You can print labels. You save up to 89% off UPS and post office rates. It makes it so easy. You can even arrange pickup at your office so neither you nor your minion are having to go stand in a line. It makes it efficient and it brings costs down for you or your business. If you are an individual and you ship a lot of packages, you got an Etsy store or something like that, Stamps.com can save you some money and some time, well integrated with post office, UPS. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, put in Eric, E-R-I-C-K. You can get shipping, you can get saving today with Stamps.com and bypass the lines. Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across America. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, if you text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777, I will text you back a series of links. Click that very top one. That is the daily email. You should subscribe to it. By the way, this morning's piece that I wrote was very much pulling back the curtain on radio and how I do it. I got some great ratings news, and the ratings are really, really good for this program. And have been for some time. Nobody ever tells me. I read it in a trade publication, which is fine. I don't really want to know. I don't want to obsess about them. And I couldn't do it without you guys listening. Thank you very much for listening. It's been a blast. I'm looking forward to getting to more stations around the country and doing more live events. Now, I want to go back to the Columbia University stuff and what's happening there. I'm not going to play you the clip because there actually is there's a level of profanity in it. But a guy went to Columbia University with a microphone and he interviewed the students participating in the protests. And all his question was very simple. Should Hamas release the remaining Israeli hostages? A number of the students said they didn't want to talk about it. A lot of the students flat out said no. No. White American kids, and by the way, they were white American kids, when confronted about the hostages, said no. Hirsch Goldberg Pullen is alive. I've been presuming the whole time he was dead. The Jerusalem Post can't confirm the date or authenticity of the video. Maybe it's from a while back. He's lost his hand. His witnesses said he had when he tried to deflect a grenade inside a bunker that people at that music concert were taking shelter in. But he appears to be alive. And I want you to think about the cold callousness of white American kids at an Ivy League institution who, when asked if Hamas should return Israel's hostages, said no. Think about that for a minute. The lack of empathy, among other things. Just the lack of empathy is really telling. It's a damning indictment on, I think, the Ivy League and a damning indictment on the left's, that they demand empathy and sympathy for others, but yet they have none. I mean, this is kind of a long-term situation with the left. And, I mean, look at the communists, the Marxists, the socialists. They want to take from those who have and give to those who have not. And oftentimes, the very elite, they ask nothing of them. They just want them welcomed in society and privileged to sit around the campfire. It's a problem with leftism fundamentally because it detaches itself from any sort of morality. It's a morality defined by the mob, and so the mob can say the hostages are meaningless. The Republicans are beginning to exploit this. Speaker Mike Johnson is going to Columbia today to talk to Jewish students. I can't remember the last time something like this has happened where a Speaker of the House on either side, but particularly a Republican side, has seized on this. He's going to meet with Democrats. He's going to meet with Jewish students. Statistically, they lean to the left, and yet he's going to be there, not Joe Biden. This can't be emphasized enough. Joe Biden did not want to say anything about anti-Semitism, and he didn't want to call it out. It was a Fox News reporter who yelled a question at him, forcing him to respond, and he couldn't respond by condemning it without also condemning the people who don't know what's going on with the Palestinians. Really, Joe? That's not leadership. He did it begrudgingly when a Fox News reporter started yelling the questions at him. Donald Trump has spoken out.
Thank you very much.
Say it.
Any plans for tomorrow?
What's tomorrow? You tell me. You tell me.
Johnson is visiting with Jewish students at Columbia.
Well, we have a lot of different things, but what's going on with the colleges and where they're closing Columbia now? I mean, it's just crazy. Columbia should gain a little strength, a little courage, and keep their school open. It's crazy, because that means the other side wins. When you start closing down colleges and universities, that means the other side. In Japan, they don't know about that. They don't close. They keep it open. They make it work. And the people running Columbia have made a grave mistake. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He's not wrong. Listen to this. Columbia University professor was on with Dan Abrams on News Nation last night. Listen to this.
So when I saw the protests of the professors yesterday, I was really displeased with that. And the reason is because their argument is that they are doing it to protect students, and that they view that one of the key responsibilities of a professor is to protect a student regardless of that student's views. Fine. No, I don't have a problem with that per se. But if that is your argument, then where were those professors in protecting the Jewish students when they were being verbally attacked, when some of them had their yarmulkes locked off their heads, when some of them had their Israeli flags taken and shredded or burned? Where were they with that? There were Jewish students who required escorts to go to Seder dinners. That is in New York City in 2024 in America.
Yes, in New York City in 2024 in America, Jewish students harassed trying to go to a Passover dinner. One of the Democrats, Representative Gottheimer from New York, went and looked for himself at the situation at Columbia, was on with Casey Hunt on CNN.
Safe sending your kids to Columbia in this environment?
After what I saw yesterday, I would be very concerned, right? I mean, and I understand why parents are very concerned. And you know, frankly, you heard what people have been screaming out. We are all Hamas. And there was another student who apparently screamed out, one of the protesters who was on campus, never forget October 7th. It'll happen not one more time, not happen 1,000 more times, but 10,000 more times. So you can imagine how you would feel if you were a student there and what that must be like for them.
By the way, I said New York, he's from New Jersey. Now, compare the Republicans. You got Mike Johnson, who's going to Columbia. You've got Tom Cotton speaking forcefully. You've got Donald Trump speaking forcefully. The Speaker of the House, you name it, the Republican leaders. Now, listen to Chuck Schumer when asked a question about the pro-Hamas protesters outside his house. You're not going to be able to hear the reporter necessarily that well, but you'll hear Schumer's response.
Peter Schumer, obviously, it's Passover. Happy Passover.
Thank you.
This evening, there were hundreds of protesters in front of your Brooklyn residence because of your support.
Ask him about his response to pro-Palestinian protesters outside his home, what his response is, what he should have done.
Look, I put out a statement about Columbia. Peaceful protest is proper and appropriate, and I've always had four goals in terms of Israel policy. One, radically reduce the presence of Hamas. You can't have peace with Hamas. Free the hostages, get as much humanitarian aid possible as done, and do everything you can to avoid civilian casualties. Last one. Last message.
Doesn't really want to talk about it. Doesn't really want to condemn it. You know, Jonah Goldberg from the Dispatch got into it with a lady on CNN yesterday and with a progressive named Sink Younger, the Young Turk guy on social media, that pointed out that if you're praising Hamas, you actually are praising a terrorist group. If you're chanting globalize the Intifada, you are chanting a terrorist statement. If you're chanting Palestine will be free from river to sea, you're calling for the elimination of the Jewish state. At some point, you have to be held accountable for your words. Why is it that words are more than words? Words are powerful things when Republicans utter them, but when Democrats utter them, it's just words. It's no big deal. They didn't really mean it. They just said it. They got caught up in the moment. Notice the double standard. It's one of the reasons people are kind of giving up on this. It's one of the reasons people recognizing more and more we have a real problem on our hands. And by the way, this doesn't play well. Now, my buddy Jeff over at National Review sent me a very nice note this morning, by the way, about my rating success. He's got a piece. The headline is, "What Began at Columbia May Climax in Chicago." And he's not wrong. Been thinking about this for a while. You know, the Democratic National Convention is going to, for the first time since 1968, I think, be in Chicago. Early on in October last year, when the first truly terrifying protests against Zionism, protests which it is too often nowadays forgotten, were well underway before Israel began its counteroffensive into Gaza in November, erupted in a New York City campus building, I wrote a piece titled bluntly, despairingly, "It Can Happen Here." Flash forward almost exactly half a year from that day, and Columbia University's campus is now closed amidst a storm of anti-Semitic protest that has veered well into outright intimidation and thuggery. Angry students mouthing mindless slogans have occupied the school's main quad in the sort of freshly bought tent city that keeps REI's online business humming along, demanding Gaza for justice for Gaza and a free Palestine from river to sea, as they nonchalantly proclaim, while casual participants from New York City, a town that harbors neither anti-Semites nor crazy people, to the best of my knowledge, are joining in the protests from outside the gates, hurling even more vile words at students and genuinely menacing them. Who could have possibly predicted it? Columbia has fallen, I saw one antagonizingly earnest left-wing New Yorker write on social media, and I had to snort. Leave that sort of overdramatic sentimentality to hysterics and alums watching their degrees plummet in reputational value. Everyone else knows that Columbia fell long ago. As a colleague of mine at NR joked yesterday morning, Columbia University has a long-hallowed tradition of shamefully losing complete control of its campus and student body, one whose lowlights make University of California, Berkeley, look like a comparatively docile and well-ordered realm of rhetorical prudence. A rabbi on campus told Jewish students to physically leave campus as soon as possible for their own safety. Megadonor Robert Kraft has announced he's suspending all further contributions to the school. Things look bad for him. At this rate, Columbia's going to end up in a worse reputation than Brown. I joke about all of this, however bleak and bitter my tone, not just because I feel like Cassandra. No, it's also because selfishly, all of this is occurring at arm's length from the remove of a college campus in a distant city. It's America's problem, yes, but on a day-to-day level, it's not my problem. Not my problem yet. For you see, I live in Chicago. On Friday, Michael Brendan Daugherty wrote a small piece that I fear is going to look every bit as prescient in the months to come as mine from last October. He called it Rehearsal for Revolution and argues that all these crowds gathering a critical mass of loosely aligned young people, they are becoming mobs, and they're dangerous mobs at that, because not only are they adrenalized for spontaneous righteous street action by the tenor of the times and their strength in growing numbers, they are run by a mini generation of activists who have actual experience in directing crowds learned from the Floyd riots. These kids are imbibing a revolutionary faith of sorts, however seemingly incoherent and illogical to our bemused perspective. And much of that faith is based around the simple desire to believe and act in the streets on behalf of their perception of moral right and wrong, and it all heads inexorably towards one destination, Chicago, in August, in what has proven to be a stroke of historical resonant bad timing. The Democrats schedule their national convention to renominate popular and spry incumbent Joe Biden in my fair town. And if Israel is still in Gaza, then things are about to go down like an ugly remake of 1968. It's true. And the dailies are no longer in charge. They have communist Brandon Johnson, who hates the Chicago police and is a pro-Hamas leftist. May God have mercy on the Democrats' soul. They're getting exactly what they deserve. Hillsdale College has covered the rise of anti-Semitism in America in Primus. They've got great intellectual thought and firepower for the right that you should consider getting. You can get it completely for free. All you have to do is go to Eric, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com to subscribe. It is completely free. It comes to your mailbox. I've been getting it since I was in law school. It gives you great thought leaders from the right. It gives you intellectual stimulation, and it's thought-provoking. It's a great publication. It's part of Hillsdale College's educational mission. You go to ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. You put in your address and they'll start sending it to you. You will never pay a penny for Imprimis. You never will pay a penny for Imprimis. It's a great way to build a relationship with Hillsdale College, get to know their convictions and heart, get to know about them. ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K. Go sign up for Imprimis completely for free. Start getting it. Start reading it. Start learning about Hillsdale's mission to educate America's youth and advance the mission of America. ericforhillsdale.com. Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program? This is kind of funny. So there's some data trickling out about climate change. Turns out that among voters 18 to 30, climate change does not even rank as a top 10 issue. But now the White House officials around Joe Biden have convinced themselves there are climate voters who will eventually turn out for him if they can handle energy price hikes. Listen to this. Top advisors to Joe Biden have recently resumed talks about the merits of a move such as declaring a national climate emergency, an unprecedented step that could unlock federal powers to stifle oil development. The move would be used to curtail crude exports, suspend offshore drilling, and curb greenhouse gas emissions, according to people familiar with the matter, who asked not to be named because the final decision has not been made. White House advisors are divided over the idea of declaring a climate emergency, with some saying it wouldn't provide Biden with enough newfound authority to make substantial changes, the people said. Others, however, argue such an announcement would galvanize climate-minded voters. What do you think it'd do to the rest of Americans who see their gas prices and their food prices skyrocket? Bet it would galvanize them too, just not in the way the White House wants. We are surrounded and led by idiots. My goodness. People who aren't idiots but are actually brilliant in helping businesses grow are the folks at First Liberty Building and Loan. If you're buying a building, buying a franchise, buying out a business, a competitor, a partner, reach out to First Liberty. If you need $250,000 or more, First Liberty Building and Loan, they make their own decisions. FirstLibertyGA.com. FirstLibertyGA.com. Tell them I said you. When we come back, yesterday I talked about this piece I put in National Review defending the free market, rejecting the idea of a national industrial policy set by wonks in Washington, D.C. There were some blowback, some folks in Washington. What's so familiar, what's so funny to me is people who were attacking me for this are in establishment conservative organizations that have decided to reject conservatism, blasting me, a guy who lives in Macon, Georgia, as some member of the establishment conservative movement. It's think tank land, lost their mind over what I said. And it finally, I had an epiphany yesterday about this, and I realized what's going on based on some of the comments. And I got thoughts on this I got to share with you when we come back, because I think I had a profound revelation last night when I was pondering the criticisms. We'll take your phone calls as well, 877-973-7425.